Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Main Green Nation podcast, and we are starting a new season. Starting this season anew. Is that what's the best way to phrase it? I don't know. It's the Main Green Nation podcast, and we're coming to you on podcast delay. We're live recording, you know? You're listening to it on delay. That's how it works here, guys. With me, as usual, Mr. Aldo Avina. He makes his students call him Mr. Aldo Avina, all that whole thing like that. It takes a long time to do it.
Excuse me, I am Professor. On Tuesday nights.
There you go. Call me Professor. New season. 2018 season. Perhaps the most anticipated in, I know, my recent memory, right? I can say about 10 years. I think this is probably the most excited anybody's ever been. Would you agree?
Yeah, since probably the beginning of 2014.
I think that was, I mean, I think the only issue with that one was that, we were losing a quarterback and we didn't know what we had coming back and there was some question mark, but I'll give you that. I mean, we're starting at Texas on that one, right? We felt good. I know I felt excited. I had a little extra hope that we could beat up on Texas also.
Charlie Strong's first game. Yeah.
There were some question marks though. And a lot of it was like, is this offense going to be enough? You know, we felt like the defense was going to do enough, but there were question marks about that offense. I'll give you that one. That's a good one. Folks, Seth Luttrell he's glowing right now, right? He's feeling good. It's almost like he won the conference championship. And let me tell you right now. Let me be the voice of cynicism, I guess, and tell you he didn't. We didn't win anything except the West Division. And they don't hang up banners for that. If they do, nobody cares. We didn't win the conference last year, season. The team that did, they put up like 1,400 yards on us in two games and scored like 100 and something points on us in two games. Let's remember that as we get ready for SMU.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I have a helpful reminder here. I was just looking up at the game notes. And they have the, hey, last time we played North Texas. This is SMU talking, right? Last time, Ben Hicks threw for 4 touchdowns, and Xavier Jones ran for 2, and SMU beat North Texas 54-32 to win its second straight in Dallas. Lest you forget, you know, they jumped out pretty early. It was like, it was a 10-10. They jumped out, and they were just score, score, score. Cortland Sutton, thank goodness he's gone on to better things. He was a North Texas killer. He's not there this week, guys. Reason to rejoice. Yeah? Are you excited about that?
I'm relieved. I don't know about excited.
Excited is going to be something else. Ben Hicks is back. He's good. I think he had, 32 touchdowns last season on a team that averaged 37, 38 points a game. Xavier Jones is back, but it doesn't look like he's going to get to start. SMU did that or thing where it's like Braden West or Xavier Jones or Keamon Freeman. But, you know, he's going to get some touches. There's no Cortland Sutton, but they got James Prochet. Is it Proch? Is it Prochet?
I think it's Proch.
Cool, man. Sure. Good for you, guy. Well, he's back there. Here's the deal, right? I don't really want to look and break down the SMU roster because that means I got to look at the SMU roster, right? And I don't want to do that. But I'll tell you this. They are an air raid team, and they're changing a little bit of what they did last season where they had that, spread to run, like power spread kind of thing. I don't know what you want to call Chad Morris's system. But that system got the best of North Texas 3 straight times, and they were scoring points against us. And we could not stop them, right, for various reasons. Our defense was in shambles. We were trying to do this, that, and the other. And we had a good shot at beating them 2 seasons ago in Seth Luttrell's first season in Denton. But things weren't right. That offense wasn't ready to go. That 2016 offense was not one to be proud of. You know, this season, we should have the upper hand. They're kind of doing a little mini rebuild, going to a new coach, getting some new everything on the same page. They're doing some air raid stuff, and that takes some time to set up a rhythm. That said, they have a good coach. Yeah?
Yeah, definitely. You've got the a very quality coach. You know, like you said, they're putting in the air raid, but there are a couple of tidbits there that give me optimism as a North Texan fan. And Ben Hicks is not an accurate quarterback. He's not great. You know, he's had a lot of help with guys like Trey Quinn and Cortland Sutton bailing him out. And then you've got a stable of backs that, you know, if you can't throw it, give it to them and they'll do something with it. And another hint from Sonny Dykes was, he said, you know, we might be an air raid team, and I'm not quoting here, but he said we might be an air raid team, but we're definitely going to be running the ball. So that kind of clues you in that one, they've got a great run game, but what might be the case is that their pass game isn't as strong as he wants it to be year one, which is reasonable, losing a guy like Cortland Sutton. But that means we can pass on them more.
Yeah, I think one thing that you've, if you've followed Sonny Dykes' career any kind of closely, he was at Louisiana Tech before they came to the Conference USA, and you know he got a new job at Cal, and well, you got to know about the guys that he's had some teams that can score, right? You might remember that Johnny Manziel's like first season, right, when he was putting up a bunch of scores, Louisiana Tech went like toe to toe with them. They were just scoring back and forth, and it was like whatever team had the ball last was going to win the game. And then he went on to Cal, and yeah, he says that he didn't get supported enough or whatever. But Cal was putting up all kinds of points. They couldn't stop anybody, but they were scoring all the points ever. And they were taking the air raid to another level, different levels, you know, like more extreme versions of things, like even a more simplified form of the offense where they're just going super fast. I think they kind of trended away from that a little bit. And also, like you said, he takes what he can get, what his team is, and he maximizes it the way any coach should, right? That Louisiana Tech team in 2012, they could run the ball. They had a really good running back, and I forget his name right now. I'm a terrible conference follower. But he was the guy that ran for like 6 touchdowns against us or whatever it was. Ran all over North Texas a couple years later.
You talking about Kenneth Dixon?
Yeah, yeah. So there you go. He can get good guys in, and he can maximize them. This is the best shot we have against them, right? We're up 3 seasons in. We got the system in place. We got the players in place. Everybody's ready to play, ready to show out, and we're at home, right? Whatever talent SMU had or has, they went through a transition. They're behind the curve a little bit, and so
there is a talent disparity, though. I'll argue
on their side, like in their favor or our favor.
In their favor. Yeah, just because of the better conference and they've, you know, Chad Morris has been bringing in quality guys.
You know, Mean Green Nation is in Conference USA, and we got to show solidarity there, man. You can't be just throwing out there. Oh yeah, AAC Power 6. You know, God. Where do you even live?
I'm a realist.
I'll give you that Chad Morris had 1 year on Seth Luttrell to build the talent at SMU. And I will say that, yeah, just overall, but I think that the change of gears is going to do something, right? And, you know, you can be more talented, but I think you also have – the talent disparity is not going to, you know, make all the difference in this game, right? Because we have talent, even if it's just like 1 star less across the board, everybody's pulling in the same direction, right? And I think that makes a difference. Also, we're at home, you know? But here's the deal. Here's what's going to come down to. If this defense, this North Texas fighting Mean Green Eagle defense, right, cannot stop their offense just on pure talent, right? Because they're going to have a system, but we've seen that system. The stuff they're going to go out and do, we do. So this shouldn't be new. This shouldn't be surprising. They're not going to get out-schemed, you don't think, right? But they might get out-talented, right? You know, maybe, you know, what's his name, Xavier Jones? Maybe he's too tough to tackle. But I don't really see that this time, you know? Cortland Sutton, that was the talent, right? Throw it up to him. He out-muscles 2 guys, touchdown, 4 straight times. Right? That was the whole play. even going back to the year previous in Denton, just throw it up to him on third and 48, right? Just chuck it up to the dude like it's NCAA 2012.
Third and 45. Yeah, don't give him that much.
It was third and 84 yards, and they chunked it all the way down the field. It was ridiculous. It was right in my corner. God, it was the worst. I had to apologize to my newborn daughter. I was like, I'm sorry that I brought you to see this. It's terrible. But, I mean, that was the thing. Everybody else, we shut them down. You made this point just seconds ago, right? We did a decent job. First down, second down, third down. They found a way. Chucked it up to Cortland Sutton. I think they found James Prochet, and he, like, you know, dinked and dunked and got away and, you know, got a first down here and there. That's going to be it. That's going to be the difference in this game. And that's super simplistic, but again, this is a simplistic game, guys. You get the ball, you cross the line, and you get 6 points for it, right? That's the whole game.
How hard can it be?
How hard can it be? We got a depth chart. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. Right. Whose do you want to start with?
Let's start with ours, because it's the one we care about, right? I don't know. It's the best way to do it. Surprises, I don't see any surprises. Maybe Jordan Murray being benched, sort of. That's not a surprise to me, though. I think
shouldn't be a surprise, yeah.
No, yeah. So what do you got?
So Jair Shorter, I tweeted about it. He's in the depth chart in the two deep at Z behind Jalen Guyton. Behind Jalen Guyton, you got Quentin Jackson, tall dude. You remember him last year, caught a touchdown against, who was it? It was on my side of the field that time. So Jair Shorter is a freshman, true freshman. And I liked his film coming in, and I didn't expect him to start just because we've got a giant pool of talent at wide receiver over this past offseason. Just a whole bunch of dudes that we brought in that were wide receivers. Like, oh, you're a three-star? Sure, you come on and play.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you there. I was unsurprised. For that same reason, though. Like, the rules are different this season, right? You get 4 games to evaluate these dudes. And I think for some positions, like maybe linebacker, you evaluate them at the end of the year, right? Give them 4 games, give them a whole season. Maybe let them play 1 at home, and then you kind of save the last 3 for the end of the season. Maybe you just need a whatever. Just like some injury fill-ins, or just let them bulk up a little bit, catch up to the season. But like wide receivers, I think you can have them run 1 or 2 routes, right? You can say, look, Jair, you can, you know, run a streak, right? Just do that. You're good enough to do that one thing. We don't need him to adjust the line. You can go in there early, run something deep, and then you're like, okay, I like what he did. And you get 4 games to play them. So why not, especially at home?
Sure. And what were you saying? Definitely the wide receiver position is a little bit harder than other positions to learn right off the bat, like running back. But, you know, combined with the difficulty of the position and the amount of talent that's in that group, you know, unless they're going to cycle through all of these freshmen, I think it's a pretty good sign that Jair is going to be good. He's 6'2", 213 pounds. That is a big boy, especially at the Z position.
Yeah, well, yeah. And you want the outside guys to be bigger, you know, to get off press coverage, get deep. And, you know, those are going to be your bigger play guys, your Y and your A, or your H, maybe, as you know them by. That's another inside joke. They're smaller, a little bit quicker, can find the holes in the defense. So that's why, like, Rico Bussey is 6'2", 190. Greg White, I'm excited about him. He's made a couple of good catches in fall practice. A redshirt freshman. Everybody's excited about him. He was one of the early steals. Like, hey, maybe that was a pretty good get there, North Texas, huh?
Yeah, right at the end.
Yeah. And then Cujo Young is out there. He's a little bit shorter, but he's, like, bigger. He's 5'11", like, 200 pounds. I think we're deeper. We don't know what Greg White has done. He, you know, his college career numbers are 0-0-0 across the board, right? You don't see nothing there. Quentin Jackson, he's not really produced at a level that, you know, changes anybody's mind about anything. But I think he has something. Obviously, Jalen Guyton, Mike Lawrence, Jalen Darden, and Rico Bussey are the ones we care about, right? They're going to spread the ball around. We're going to look to throw deep to Guyton, find Mike Lawrence underneath, get it to Jalen Darden, see if he can create in space, and then throw it up to Rico Bussey, right? Those are that's our main game plan. And I'm excited about all of them. I'm excited to see them be more consistent. Right? If you guys read the Mean Green Nation ebook, season preview, I've heard good things about it. Turns out I'm not a terrible author. You'll see that like we spread it around really nicely amongst everybody. Like Mike Lawrence ended up coming out ahead, but we spread it around nicely. And so I think that's one caveat going into this game, is that we might see Rico get, you know, 5 grabs, 100 yards, and then Jalen get like 1 grab, 8 yards. And you think, oh man, this is what happened. That happened last season, right? There were other games where it was flipped. You were going to say something.
Yeah. So, you know, we've got this good proven talent at the top with those guys that you mentioned. And then, you know, with the guys that aren't as proven, like Quentin Jackson and Greg White, you know, you kind of think, can they step in and fill in? You know, last year, Jalen Guyton was injured after the Army game, and Turner Smiley was able to come in and fill in pretty well. I mean, obviously, he wasn't the dynamic player that Jalen Guyton was, but he was able to, you know, in spots where they needed him, catch that long pass, catch that long touchdown in order to turn the tides in some games. So if those guys in the two deep can do that, then I'm happy.
Here's like, if you want to just, I need something to feel good about, right? Mike Lawrence coming into last season was sort of an unknown, right? He did some good things in practice, but we're like, okay, who is this guy, Mike Lawrence? We'll see what's up, right? Turns out he was the leading receiver, right? Keegan Brewer, kind of in the same mold. I think they're the same. Like, he's like an inch taller and like a pound lighter, right? They're like the same dude. You know, we heard good things about him. We've heard good things about Greg White, even Cujo Young. And so we can see that those kinds of things translate from practice to the games, right? We've seen that before. We saw Jalen Guyton tearing it up in spring practice and fall practice. And we're like, can he do it in the game? Well, it turns out, yes. Yes, he can. To an amazing extent. Same thing with Bussey, right? He was doing good, same kind of thing. When he's going to show out? And then he did during the game. So the practices have a way of revealing the future, I guess. They translate very well. So I'm excited about these guys, even though we haven't seen them in a real game. In a real live game, we don't know what they have. I'm excited about that. Turner Smiley, speaking of. Love the dude. He had a great season last year. But previous to that, he was a whole lot of potential, not a whole lot of action. He dropped too many passes. He was injured quite often. And I think we were more just disappointed about him than like excited about his possibilities. I think it's a credit to the staff and their ability to develop players and get those players to buy in and to develop themselves, I guess, right? So everybody. But they were able to help Turner Smiley reach his potential and, you know, do amazing things. Even some things, and again, didn't even get on the board. I think against Rice, he caught it, leaped over the guy, ran a 60-yard touchdown, but they called it back. That would have been another highlight on his resume. So I'm excited about everybody. Another thing, that they have the tight end listed here. I've been a fan of Kelvin Smith ever since he showed out in his first spring game and caught like a couple touchdown passes. First game against SMU, caught a touchdown pass. I was like, this is going to be his life. Touchdown catching machine. This guy's amazing. He didn't really do that last season, but I expect him to have a good year. He had some really huge, important catches last season. There was like that one he caught for 3 yards, first down, but it was like on 4th and 3, right? I'm excited about him too. He's technically a possible starter, right? Depending on the formation they come out in.
Exactly. Yeah. He's just a big dude, a chain mover. Caleb Chumley has always been injured, I guess. Ankle issues, stuff like that. So I'm excited to see him finally since the day he gray-shirted for QB. But he's always shown to be very athletic. And if he can be as athletic as that on the field on game day, then I mean, it's golden.
I mean, he had that 43-yard touchdown, 43-yard catch against Southern Miss last season. And I was hoping we'd see more of that, but that was it. That was all he had. There's nothing else. He played, but he didn't catch anything else. Must be nice.
I think
My one catch, 43-yard bomb.
Yeah, that's my boy. I think a big issue, if you want to call it an issue, if you're talking about individual production, is that, you know, North Texas is kind of a hydra with its passing game. You know, if Jalen Guyton was the only guy and the other receivers were just scrubs, he would have been a 900,000 yard receiver. But since it's filled with so much talent, we had four guys with over 400 yards, which is, you know, one of the top four in the nation in terms of individual production.
Yeah. Here's the thing, right? Like, air raid, for those of you just listening, the air raid is a ball control offense, and it's a spread the wealth kind of offense. And if you're doing it right, you should track each position, who gets the ball, who gets the touches. I think the X and the Z and the running back get the most touches. Or the X and the Z get the most yards. The A, Y, and running back get the most touches just by nature being closer to the quarterback, right? The quarterback gets all the touches. And that's just the way it goes. But everybody gets, you know, the ball, and they try to spread it around to everybody. We did a good job of that last season. I think the running backs had 41% of production. I forgot off the top of my head. I don't have it in front of me. But we did a great job spreading the ball around and getting production out of each spot. There was not really a weak spot. And you can tell when they were focusing on the guy. They tried to bracket Guyton in a couple games. And, you know, we got other dudes getting open. I want to say at least one guy had 100 yards receiving in every game or close to it. But I know I'm lying. I don't have last season's production in front of me. But that's the way you want to do it in this offense. That's the whole idea. You want to use all 11 players and not just rely on one dude, you know, 1973 football style. We're like, we're going to give this running back 45 carries. And that's going to be it. We're just going to, everybody else is going to block for him. Okay. All right, so good. We have everybody, you know, we had everybody. There's no real surprises there. I mean, I'm not really surprised by Jair Shorter getting some time there. I mean, because who else is going to be there? Right? We lost Turner Smiley. It's going to be one of the freshmen, I thought. Jordan Murray, back at left tackle. He's kind of played everywhere except center. I think maybe he even got like a minute at center. One game or something like that. No surprises across the board. Manasseh Mose starting at right guard. That was always like the projection eventually, right? When he first signed on the dotted. Sosaya Mose at center. Thomas Preston the third at left guard. That's a little bit of a surprise. But, I mean, you know, that's fine.
Beating a guy like Brammer?
Just him playing left guard. I thought maybe, because he's been kind of moved around a little bit. I think he even got time at center, right, when Mosey was injured in the spring. Again, this staff has been known to move everybody around and to find a good spot for everybody along the line. So I'm not really surprised to see any kind of shakeups there. Anyway, does that make sense? And, hey, this kid Mason Fine is starting. That's kind of strange, huh? Obviously, Mason Fine is going to get the start. Hopefully he doesn't get injured in all 15 games they play this season or whatever it is, because that would be awful, right? Especially that was everybody's narrative about this team this season. Like, hey, Seth Luttrell's going to probably get a Power 5 job, but he's going to do it on the strength of this tiny little quarterback, Mason Fine, who may be the best quarterback in Texas. That literally was everybody's blurb about North Texas in every preview. Nick Smith getting a start. Lauren Easley?
What? Yeah, out of nowhere.
Yeah. I think we all expected DeAndre Torrey to either challenge Nick Smith for the starting gig or perhaps be the immediate backup. And if not, Evan Johnson being the clear second or third. But hey, Lauren Easley showed out in fall practice, so congratulations there, dude. I'm going to give him a round of applause. All right, yeah, good job, Lauren. But see, everybody appreciates it. Look at that.
And maybe due to his size, he seems to be the biggest back there.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing. That's the thing about this team. I said this in the preview, which you can get for 20% off now, guys. Right? All proceeds benefit me and the other guy who wrote a blurb of it. Well, I was going to say, I lost my spot in this, in that terrible joke. The thing about this team, right, is that we were inconsistent. We turned the ball over a little too much. Mean Green Nation favorite Jeff Wilson, who did he get cut from the Niners yet? I don't know. He fumbled a little too much, and he couldn't quite convert on third and short. And some of that was the line, some of that was Mason Fine, some of that was Jeff Wilson. All combinations thereof. And they did it sometimes, like against ODU, that was pretty great. You know, in some clutch situations against Louisiana Tech, that was pretty great. But in some notable situations, they failed, right? Including, hey, against UTSA, right? I think everybody forgets that before they went on that 98-yard drive to win the game, they failed to convert on third and short, and then fourth and short, and then, you know, UTSA took over, and North Texas had to get a stop. So there you go. A big back would do it. I think we all talked about that after last season. Like, hey, can we get a big dude in there? Can we just get a big guy lean forward or something like that? Like, we need to try something different to convert on these third and fourth and shorts.
Anybody? Yeah, instead of an inverted veer or some kind of zone read. Just try to get it up the middle, roll people over. And, you know, to Nick Smith's credit, he's not a big dude, but he is pretty decent between the tackles, in my opinion.
Nobody here is a big guy, right? I think you said, like, he's the biggest dude, but he's 200 pounds at best, right? A big dude running back is 230 pounds. That's a guy that can, you know, like that guy from Old Dominion. What's his name? I forget his name. But
Spencer.
But he was like a bowling ball, right? You just run in there and just kind of lean on you. That's a short yardage back. We don't have a short yardage back out here.
We don't. Yeah. And a guy that I'm thinking of, it would be somebody that's about 215. You don't necessarily have to be 230, but like 215 pounds. That extra 18 pounds on easily would be a big dude with that kind of momentum and inertia. But yeah, he's not 200 pounds, but, you know, it helps being 10 pounds heavier than a guy like Nick Smith.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. You take what you can get. I don't expect that we need that, right? We don't need a guy. They're just an option, right? There's lots of ways to get a yard. And if we can out-execute guys, I mean, you look at Navy, right? They don't have a whole lot of 215-pound, 250-pound guys out there. And they're getting yards, right? A lot of it's execution. And we need to execute in those short yardage plays to get first downs. That's going to go a long way in determining the success of the season. Because we don't have Jeff Wilson anymore. I don't know if you know this. I know I've mentioned it like thrice already. But that was a dude that would turn nothing plays into something plays. And you can go back and look at his highlights or just go watch a random game. I think that Louisiana Tech game is a good one just to rewatch. He takes a sure 3-yard loss and turns it into a 15-yard gain. And you don't see that in the box score. You don't see he's actually plus 8 here or plus 23 even though it's a 15-yard gain because he broke a tackle on the backfield. You don't see that. I don't know we have a guy like that. Nick Smith is good, but all the times we've seen Nick Smith be good, he had a gap to run into, right? He didn't really shake off a tackle in the backfield, turn on the jets, beat a guy around a corner, and get up the field.
He's a tackle avoider rather than a tackle breaker. He's a very shifty dude with lots of agility. He can catch the ball really well. So I think we'll see a lot more passes coming to the especially now that we have a guy like DeAndre Torrey. We'll see more passes going to the running backs. And, Torrey's film from where did he come from? I can't remember.
It's like Mississippi Gulf Coast. I don't know. Some like junior college in Mississippi. I forget off the top of my head. Sorry, everybody.
It looks awesome. I mean, he accelerates. He's got that explosive acceleration, the kind of thing you want for somebody in an air raid offense. He just shoots right through. So I'm excited to see what he can do on game day. So if we could get some touches to him, I'd appreciate it.
Gulf Coast Junior College. It's Mississippi Gulf Coast. There it is. I mean, this whole offense is designed to get guys in space and let them make plays, right? For a guy like Kelvin Smith, he has a little shift in him, a little shiftiness, but he'll also lower his shoulder and, you know, get around the dude. Everybody else, it's speed. Jalen Guyton is speed. Mike Lawrence's quickness and finding spaces in the zones. Although, you know, Mike Lawrence can run, right? He can run a little bit. But he's not a burner. Jalen Darden is more of a burner, right? He's a punt returner. Rico Bussey, a burner and a leaper. So, I mean, that's it. We know how this team's going to move the ball.
Yeah, Bussey's the tackle breaker. He can catch it in traffic, and you know if he catches it, he'll break some tackles. Michael Lawrence, I don't know what his deal is, but he just always is open. Yeah. He's that guy when the play breaks down, he's just open. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah, I mean that's the deal. Is that like he's good at finding space? It's crazy how some people are not good at that. They don't see where the defense isn't, you know, and they don't get open. Mike Lawrence does a hell of a job getting open. All right, let's move to the defense. Rod Young, defensive end, backed up by Caleb Colvin. TJ Tuilau.
Awalo.
Yeah, I was awful. Ladarius Hamilton at the other defensive end spot, backed up by Deion Noble. Bryce English, the man, the myth, the legend at the other nose tackle spot. I think we are all excited to see what he can do, to see his first play in, what, 3 years or something like that?
Yes,
those three are going to be just supremely vital in the fortunes of this season. Not only just getting to the quarterback, although that's going to supposedly come from Joe Azogwu, a little bit from the blitzing from Garner and Igiea, but those guys are going to be so important to do the things that the guys from last year did, the group from last year. They did a decent enough job stopping the run, with notable exceptions, right? Except the Florida Atlantic game. But they did a decent enough job stopping the run and getting enough pressure on the quarterback, but they could never get there all the way. And they're going to help Nate Brooks, who's gotten all the write-ups. I think Brett Vito wrote about him, said, hey, he was injured, should be great now. And Keemon Hall, who had a great, solid to good season last year at the other corner spot. The front three / front four will go a long way in determining the fortunes of everybody else, including the linebackers, perhaps especially the linebackers. Brandon Garner is a middle linebacker. EJ Agia, the captain of the defense, he's the other linebacker. I don't know. Do you feel good about a linebacking core this season, man?
I haven't felt good about the linebacking core in a while. Sure, I think it might be a little bit better, but you know, it's the same guys that we've had in the past, and nobody's you know, pushing them. Each one has their strengths. Each one has their weaknesses, and you just have to mask those weaknesses between each other. I hope with the front three, or if you count the Jack, the front four, that'll help out the linebackers a little bit more, like you were saying. You know, a guy like Deion Noble, I'm excited to see what he can do. Joe Zugu can do in the Jack spot. We've seen Rod Young, and we like what he does in Hambone. Hopefully Tawala could stay healthy throughout the rest of the season. In English, I have no comment on him. I hope he can come in and play and stay healthy. I don't know what to expect from him.
Notable appearances on the depth chart. Katie Davis, he was a relatively highly touted freshman. He's kind of smallish, 5'11", 206. That's a safety body, isn't it? And, I mean, Kyrie Muhammad's out there at safety. Taylor Robinson out there at safety, backed up by Michael Sanders and Trey Siggers. I expected Trey Siggers to kind of play maybe the nick, but, I mean, he's out there at safety. And I've heard good things. He's smallish, 5'8", right? Tyreek Davis getting a start. We sort of expected that, given his appearances at the nick last season in place of D. Balkman and ahead of Ashton Preston. Ashton Preston, meanwhile, is the third string guy. I mean, this is kind of weird. You read it, and you're like, well, he fell all the way down. Well, it's actually Tyreek Davis is the starter, and Ashton Preston is his backup at that nick kind of, I'm a tackle and safety kind of spot. Jameel Moore is more of the corner in the, hey, we need more guys to cover the pass out here, right? It's third and long, yeah, that kind of thing. So that's really how it's working. Ashton Preston is like the backup to Tyreek Davis. Jameel Moore is the nickel corner.
But, and I've heard a lot of good things coming from starting last year from Jameel Moore. He's got speed. He's just good in coverage.
Yeah, and I mean that's a big spot there. We keep our starters on the outside. I mean, this is college. We don't do a whole lot of movement of our corners out there. Nate Brooks is going to be huge. He had a great season 2 years ago where he was our best cornerback, and he fell off last season. Let's be honest, and he was injured a lot, and you know, he blamed a lot on his knee. But I mean, he was getting beat on double moves, and everybody will challenge him on that all season long to see if he's finally shaking that habit. And we'll see. I mean, he likes to go for picks, and he was successful 2 seasons ago, not as successful last season. And you know, he got shamed and got benched, and Eric Jenkins came in for him. But Nate Brooks ended up playing some more late in the season. He's good. He has a talent, and he's a senior. So we expect big things from the dude. And Keemon Hall, another solid corner, another evidence of the late summer JUCO pickups from last year. He stepped in, took the corner spot, and kept it all year.
Yeah, I was really surprised about Keemon Hall last year, but he's good in the pass game, that's for sure. Nate Brooks is more of your more of a physical guy, and it's good to see that him back. You know, he's a different type of player than Eric Jenkins was. Eric Jenkins is blazing fast and he can recover pretty quick. Nate Brooks is the fighter at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I think I mean, Nate Brooks had some good games in coverage, and he also did get beat pretty badly against like the NFL guys on Western Kentucky a couple seasons ago. So I think that's a little bit what you're hinting at there. William LeMaster is a backup middle linebacker. We didn't mention his name. And Mike Linehan, backup to Gia. Any thoughts there? Just same kind of deal, huh?
Yeah, same kind of deal. I liked LeMaster's last year just because of his size. I think he came in last year as a transfer. I can't remember anymore. But, yeah, at the time he was one of the bigger guys.
Yeah, he's 6'2", 212. He's taller, and I mean, you know, that means something. Tim Faison, I think we don't know where he was going to go. I think somewhere speculated maybe he played one of the two linebacker spots. He's listed as the third string or, you know, the jack guy, but he might be playing like the third linebacker spot if we just go, you know, three up front and then have three linebackers. He might play like an actual linebacker spot, not a pass rusher spot. But that spot is. The jack position is kind of weird. You'll see them drop into coverage. You'll see them rush most often, but in different situations, you'll see that become more like a traditional linebacker. We'll see. I'm interested to see what this defense brings this season. You can see the system in place, and when they're almost getting to the guys, you think everything's on the right track. We just need a little bit more time in the training room. Or just a few more recruits, and then, you know, those almost are sacks, and those turn into interceptions, and the whole season's different. So I'm excited about it. I don't think this is going to be a shutdown defense. Not going to be Alabama out here. But I think there's a very real possibility that they're good to okay.
Yeah, and good to okay is better than last year. There's room for improvement on situationally. I mean, they were pretty good at like first and second down runs and stuff, but situationally on third down, if we can just be closer to average, then that would be a huge improvement. And that's not a knock. It would be, you know, it would be a big benefit to us if on third down we could make a stop.
I've only seen one preview somewhere make mention of Cole Hedlund being the key to the season. And it was interesting. He's a kicker. He's a new kicker. They're like, hey, you're just underestimating how good previous kicking game was and how much you're going to miss that dude. And now this guy, shaky guy, Cole Hedlund, had big miss at Arkansas. What are you going to do? And, you know, that's interesting. I think that's a sign of a good program is you don't have a whole lot of weak links like that. The kid has talent, and, you know, we'll see. I don't want to – you can't compare him. There's no real comparison there. The guy was amazing. But what we could do is just hope that we don't have to kick a whole lot of field goals, right? We shouldn't be kicking field goals or extra points.
No hashtag no field goals.
Yeah, there was what game was that I'm thinking of that we missed an extra point and it came back. It was a UTSA game too, right? That really changed the game a little bit there. I'm not excited to talk about the whole special teams unit, except for the fact that DeAndre Torre, Deion Hare Griffin, Evan Johnson, Jalen Darden are all kick returners listed on here. Evan Johnson did a good job last season. I'm excited to see. It's basically going to be whoever the third string running back is going to be, Torrey or Johnson. They will be the kickoff returner. That's how that's going to work. And you know, Jalen Darden is going to be the punt returner. He took one back last season, so we'll see.
We think. Do you think Torrey will take one back?
Yeah. Why not, man? Why not? He's going to take one back. Evan Johnson almost. Evan Johnson almost took one. What game did he do that in? I'm hoping they were listening on here. No. He was a primary dude. That's kind of interesting that he just got, I don't want to say demoted, but he's not the primary dude anymore. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what that means. Everybody takes their kickoff return man duties differently. They kind of mean something different to different coaches. So I don't want to read too much into it.
Torrey is fast. Hare Griffin is fast. And I think that might be it.
Yeah, there are options back there. And now I like the options, you know?
Yeah, it's better than having Jeff Wilson as your primary kick returner.
Yeah, you don't want, I mean, while that's good, you know, you'd rather give him the ball and have him execute on third and, you know, whatever, instead of not. Just taking the quickest look at SMU. I'm scared of Ben Hicks a little bit just because he's experienced. But that experience didn't help him out in the bowl game where they got slaughtered and they got whooped by Louisiana Tech. And, you know, it's not going to be as bad because that was like full-on transition. They had like one coach, right? There's like, all right, this one holdover guy, he's going to try to teach everybody everything. The head coach is going to actually be taught by the quarterback, and we'll see what's what. This is a good matchup. I think we should be favorites. We are favorites. But they are good enough that we'll be challenged. And we can't take it easy. You know what I mean? It's like 85-90% of the best teams will play. Does that make sense? And do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, while on paper, we are, what are we, -4.5 and like 60% in favor of winning this. You know, if we're not on top of our game, if we come out rusty, since it's the first game of the season for us, we're hoping they come out rusty because it's the first game of their season, but we can't depend on that. They can just run it up on us and the game will be over. So we need to execute pretty well, especially on defense. So like a guy like Ben Hicks, you're saying he's got experience. And if we can, because he's such a kind of a scattershot, if we can shake him up in the backfield, then that would make our day a whole lot easier.
Yeah, so Trey Quinn, he moved on, right? That's Trey Quinn, yep. And Cortland Sutton. So that's going to be two. Those are 2,000-yard receivers. James Proche's back. He caught 40 for 816 and 6 touchdowns last season. So what is it? 2,200 yards and 25 touchdowns are gone out of Ben Hicks's 33 touchdowns and 3,500 yards passing. He only completed 58%, which is not amazing. You know, he only threw for 274 yards a game. And a good portion early in the season was throwing it up to Cortland Sutton. So he's not the greatest quarterback. We don't have to be super afraid of him. But he's experienced, and that means, you know, he can check out of a bad play. The only problem is, well, he doesn't know all these new plays, right? Or at least not as well. He's not as experienced, right? That's where it's all a little different. And I really don't know what to expect. Every first-year air raid team has some trouble, unless you're like TCU. I think they switched to the air raid, and then all of a sudden they just started throwing touchdowns all over the place. So maybe, you know, let's give Sonny Dykes some credit because he's a great offensive coach. Louisiana Tech was super explosive when he was there from 2010, 2012. He went to Cal. They lost a bunch of games, but they can score, right? And then he helped TCU last season. They were still a good offense. He can make some things happen, and we should be a little scared of it. But again, we have an explosive offense, And this defense goes against it every game, every practice. And they're not going to be doing a whole lot of different things. There might be even the same terminology out there. And their whole, hey, yeah, you know, we like to run too. You got to look out for our run game. That was our team last couple seasons, right? We had a great running back, and we gave him the ball, and we ran the ball a lot last season. So nothing is new here. And that's why I think this is a great opportunity. This is the perfect kind of opponent. I mean, we even averaged 35 a game last season. They averaged 37. It's kind of the same thing. It's the same team. They're going against the same team.
Yeah, and like you said, it's an opportunity. But they're definitely going to try to go through their running backs. We'll see a lot of James Proche or Proche. The guy we got to look out for, though, is Reggie Robertson or Roberson.
Let's go with Roberson.
Roberson. From West Virginia, I want to say.
Yeah.
So he's coming from another air raid team with Holgerson out there. And he's talented. There's a reason he went out there. But there's also a reason why he's at SMU now. So it's just some guy we got to watch out for. Listen out for his name, Roberson, or his number 21, if you're at the game, which all of you should be at the game. That's my only worry.
Yeah. Xavier Jones is good. He is 1,000-yard back last season, and I think Braden West played. He had, 500, 600 yards last season. You know, they're good. There's a couple times where we got caught in bad positions. We were out of position, and, you know, they slice us up for big plays. That whole game was pretty terrible, but they did tack on some scores at the end of the game. And I think, I guess, just to be fair to the Ponies, a lot of people were saying that Mason Fine's yardage came in garbage time too. They're like, well, you know, maybe he wasn't so good. You know, maybe he was just he was scoring, throwing touchdowns when it didn't matter anymore. Not so much. He threw some touchdowns early. He was moving the ball early. If you recall, North Texas was moving the ball well against Southern Methodist University early. Kind of got caught. Didn't score touchdowns. Attempted field goals. And we had SMU pinned a couple times defensively, and they threw it up to Cortland Sutton. And then there was a third quarter terrible thing. If you remember last season, you could, on an average game, we had two great quarters and two terrible quarters. You know, again, just look at that UTSA game, the one everybody remembers. Great first quarter, great fourth quarter, awful second, awful third, the god awful third. I think we only had like 13 yards in the third. So when Seth Luttrell talks about consistency, he means let's play four quarters of great football. When we talk about consistency, same deal. And a lot of that is getting short yardage first downs, not getting sacked, like turning all the negative plays we had into at least neutral plays. Let's get 0 yards, right? Let's have an incomplete pass instead of a sack. Let's have an incomplete pass or just a none-yard gain instead of a fumble, right? Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, for sure. And that goes back to saying, like, on some of those situations, going back to just average, that would be a great improvement. If we can have a quarter like we had the first quarter and the fourth quarter and the second quarter and the third quarter, increasing that consistency, then we're going to be scoring a lot more points.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. North Texas averaged 35 a game last season. And, I think that can go up. It can go up.
Yeah, I mean, they beat my expectations. I think last year I said something about, I don't know, maybe like 28 points per game on offense and 32 on defense. And we ended up 35-35. So I was pretty pleased with how big of a leap they took from year one to year two. So if they take another leap going into year three, it's going to be awesome.
I'm looking for Southern Miss's, how much they allowed last year? What was their yards per game allowed? Looking for it.
Southern Mississippi?
Southern Methodist.
Methodist. It was pretty high, maybe.
I'm looking right now. I know it's going to be here in one of these positions. They averaged 30. They allowed 36 a game. Here's the deal. They're not that great. Sonny Dykes doesn't coach up really great defenses. He never has. I don't anticipate he will. So we should be able to score against these guys. By the way, did you know the betting favorites to win the conference is the Owls of Florida Atlantic at, I think it's 130, negative 130 right now. Marshall is the second one. Everybody believes in Marshall except me. It's crazy. But the third, I guess, favorite is Louisiana Tech, and that means they're the favorite to win the West. And that's what, that's, again, I've been scared of him, of them, scared of them. They have talent. Talking about a team that's deep in all the positions, and they got a returning quarterback also. They're very much kind of like that, you know, Mason Fine year one, year two kind of thing. I think they had a little bit of that with their quarterback. That was his year one for all intents and purposes, and this is going to be his year two. And I think we're going to see a jump from that guy. So I'm a little scared of him. But there you go. I just wanted to write that down. Louisiana Tech is was it plus 700, Middle Tennessee plus 725, North Texas plus 1200. That's our chances of winning the league.
Yeah, and you're right about it, that quarterback. I'm blanking on his name right now.
Jamar Smith. Did you say Kmart Smith?
I said Kmart. So. Go home. Now I've lost my train of thought. So yeah, he was written off last year about not being that great of a quarterback. But I mean, he passed for over 3,000 yards for not being a great quarterback. He passed for over 3,000 yards and he rushed quite a bit. He's a solid threat as a dual threat quarterback. I think at the media day,
yeah, he lost two of his receivers, and the receivers that he had were injured. They missed both of them. So I'm a little scared of that squad, man.
Yeah, he's good, and they've got good coaching staff over there. That, you know, they lost a lot of games that were, what, four or five games that were within a point or in overtime?
Yeah, including to us. Just think how different that would have been if we don't get a first down or we don't kick that field goal. They go down and score, and they win the game, right? Or they just hold on to something. I think, was it UAB blocked the kick against Louisiana Tech? That would have been another win. And if they would have beat us and they get that win, they're playing for the title, right? It's very close, very razor thin. I'm interested to see what Louisiana Tech's going to do this season. And they open up against South Alabama. Let's quickly, we got like 10 minutes left. Let's quickly go through the league schedule this week. And by doing that, let's talk about week zero, which sounds stupid. Prairie View A&M nearly upset. Is it an upset when you almost beat Rice? That game was awful. 31-28 Rice. You can see what they want to do. Mike Bloomgren has them doing like power tosses. They got like three tight ends out there, and they're running all over the Prairie View A&M defensive line. Next week they go up against Ed Oliver, so we'll see if Rice can continue running for 300 yards. But Rice almost lost that game, and they almost lost that game because they couldn't stop the former four-star receiver. What's his name? Williams? I forget his name. His actual name. Is it Travion? Travis? Trey something? Anyway, the dude was just killing him. And he scored two touchdowns, and they basically just looking at him. Bryce is like single covering him, which is ridiculous. And so the dude was like, oh, wide open to my best player. Let me float it on out there, this terrible floating duck, and let my guy go up and get it. And he did. That was their whole offense for a while. So Prairie View nearly beat them. They were up 28, like 19 or something like that for a while. They had to rely on a safety. Like it slipped to the punter's hands and went out, and that's how they tied the game. And Rice went on a field goal. I still think Rice is going to be the better team of the two teams that got a new quarterback, a new coach, but they looked bad.
Rice and UTEP.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can see that, as you were saying, that kind of offense are going to be running that West Coast run-first offense, and they ran it a lot, and they held the ball a lot. I think it was like 40 minutes for Rice versus 20 minutes for Prairie View, but they had double the amount of time with the ball. They scored just as much, so it's a red flag there.
Yeah, and I think their quarterback, Sean Stevenage, he doesn't look like he can throw the ball. If you're going to run a West Coast offense and you don't have a quarterback that can really throw the ball, you better run it, you know, and hold the ball for 41 minutes. You know, like, you have a power offense, you have ball control, and you need to have a really good defense, and they don't really have any of those things. We'll see. I think they're going to get blown out against Houston, just because Houston, they have an NFL defensive lineman. He's going to blow up that run game, and then Rice is going to get tore up by Houston's offense. So I think it's all done. They got the Kendall Briles offense out there.
So yeah, a lot of yards, a lot of points by Houston on that one.
Tomorrow, right? Today's Tuesday. Today's Wednesday. Wednesday, God. This is what happens. By the way, yes, I had another kid. Yes, male birth. And so that's why I'm a little spacey right now. You know, I've been dealing with that. Thursday, Savannah State playing UAB, which has a similar style. They like to power run, you know, but I think they're going to handle Savannah State pretty easily. That's in Alabama. It's at 7 p.m. You can watch that on ESPN Plus if you so choose. Friday, big one. Big one for the conference, Western Kentucky at Wisconsin. Wisconsin's one of the better teams in the Big Ten, even though they have like 12 teams. Western Kentucky is awful under Mike Sanford. I don't really believe in Western Kentucky, even though he's a tall guy, and Aldo thinks he's super handsome.
He's a very handsome man, thank you very much.
Can I hold your hand again, Mike?
Can I touch your hair?
I think the most likable thing about Mike Sanford is that he was talking mess about FAU. He was like, yeah, they lost their coaches. Let's see what they got now, huh? Let's see how easy it is now, buddy. good for you, buddy. But I don't believe in him.
I think it's too early to make that assessment.
I already assessed it. It's done.
I have made that judgment.
Let's see, hold on,
I don't think they'll do much against Wisconsin.
Hold on, breaking news. Western Kentucky is going to suck. All right.
I got to lead you in.
Thanks for that. Right. Any wrestling papers, like Jim Rome style? Let's see what I got here. Hold on. Yeah, they're going to suck. All right. Sorry.
So what do you think about Florida Atlantic?
Let's skip them for a second. Let's talk about the other ones. We'll get to Florida Atlantic. Marshall. Okay. Marshall visiting Miami of Ohio.
Miami's pretty good.
Yeah. If Marshall's who everybody says they are, right? Like Doc Holliday's sitting over there. I just see him sitting over there in like the bar just looking mean, you know? He looks like an old Western Doc Holliday a little bit. Like, he never looked approachable, even to his friends. They're like, hey, Doc, how's it going? And he shook their hands, but he had like a stare in their faces.
He's calling everybody Huckleberry.
Yeah, and you're just like, all right, buddy. They should win that one, but I still don't believe in them. Charlotte is hosting Fordham, and you know what? They might lose that game. Old Dominion going to Liberty. That's in Lynchburg, Virginia. I saw Ed Miller, good friend of the show, was thinking, like, hey, maybe Liberty could be Old Dominion's rival. Who knows? They need somebody close. Old Dominion should win that game fairly easily, and we'll get an idea because these are two opponents we have this season, Old Dominion and Liberty. We're traveling over there to Virginia.
We're going to Liberty.
And to Old Dominion. So both, we'll see what's up over there. Southern Miss hosting Jackson State. That should be an easy win. We'll see Jack Abraham, see what that guy has. Apparently he's super accurate. He's a quarterback there for Southern Miss. Florida International hosting Indiana.
That'll be an interesting one.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be on CBS Sports Network. We should really learn about Florida International. They have that great defensive line. They've got to figure out what they're going to do at quarterback. But, you know, I don't know how good Indiana is right now. This should be a win. These are the kinds of games Conference USA can win. Indiana, are they good? Nobody knows. They have some talent, but a well-coached team, and Florida International is one of those, right? A talented team. Florida International is one of those. They should beat an Indiana on their home field, right? We did that, right? North Texas beat Indiana. Louisiana Tech going to South Alabama. I forget who's good in the Sun Belt, but South Alabama shouldn't be too much trouble for one of the division's best. Louisiana Tech should win this one pretty easily. Look for Jamar Smith to kind of show out that one.
South Alabama is going to be pretty competitive, but I think Louisiana Tech should shut it down.
Middle Tennessee going to Vandy. This is another one. It depends on what kind of Middle Tennessee we see again, right? They're always they got healthy kid stock still out there, so I expect good things. But they lost Ricky James. I don't know. What is Middle Tennessee now? Are they good?
They should be good in Conference USA. I don't think they're good enough to beat Vanderbilt anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see them winning this one. They've kind of lost a couple, but I know Middle Tennessee. It really depends. Like some weeks, I'm like Middle Tennessee's awful. They're gonna lose, and they jump up and they get a good win. You're like, wow, they're pretty good.
They beat Syracuse last year.
Yeah, and then I'm like, you know what, Middle Tennessee's good, and then they go and they lose, and you're just like, wow, Middle Tennessee, you're the worst. I hate you. I will never believe in you. Yeah.
Ty Lee will get some numbers, so just keep an eye on Ty Lee in Middle Tennessee.
Northern Arizona might beat UTEP. You know, I don't really see that one being a win. Like these are all kind of weird. I don't know if you're planning to watch any of these later, but they all start at 6:30, so it might even strain your DVR's ability unless you got one of them like 8 TV tuners on there. Because like UTSA is playing Arizona State. Arizona State should win that easily. That's the start of the what's his face era, Kevin Sumlin era. There, no, Arizona State is what's his name, the other guy. I forgot. They both got new coaches. The Jets guy. Herm Edwards. Yeah. That's going to be weird, but UTSA, I don't really see them doing anything. That's on Fox Sports 1. UTEP is on ESPN 3. We are on Stadium. Middle Tennessee is on the SEC Network. Louisiana Tech's on ESPN Plus. FIU is on CBS Sports Network. Southern Miss, ESPN Plus. Old Dominion, ESPN 3. Charlotte, ESPN Plus, Marshall, ESPN Plus, Bryson Houston, CBS Sports Network, and Florida Atlantic, Oklahoma. Let's talk about that one. Fox Sports, 11 a.m. This is a good one. I mean, I'm rooting for Florida Atlantic. I'm going to go all in on Lane Kiffin. If I were not a North Texas fan and agnostic? Conference USA fan, just, you know, watching something fun, I'd be rooting for Lane Kiffin just because he's a fun story. This is good for the conference. We don't want to say, man, look at that team whooping the hell out of everybody in Conference USA for 10 straight games. Oh, wow, look, they ran into a brick wall, right?
I mean, to be fair, that brick wall is freaking Oklahoma. You know, it's not some kind, it's not Indiana. It's not Vanderbilt. Oklahoma's a stalwart.
No, I don't believe in Oklahoma. And also, I mean, I like Lincoln Riley, but I also think that Bob Stoops had built him up. He had a nice little squad. He gave it to Lincoln Riley. Like, here's a Heisman Trophy candidate, right? Fifth-year starter, whatever it is, right? Guy that's been and seen and done it all. Who they got now? They got, I mean, is it the Kyler Murray kid? He's talented.
Kyler Murray. He's good.
He's good, yeah, but, I mean, is good going to win you the Heisman? Is he going to, you know, is he going to make plays against the nation's best? I don't know.
There are 22 people on that field.
And here's the other thing, is that I don't know how good Florida Atlantic's going to be, but they're up for this. They're ready for this. And Lane Kiffin is a good game planner, right?
He is. He is. He's an incredible coach. He's one of the best coaches in the league. Credit him to that. But I think the talent disparity is going to be too huge to be able to overcome, to be competitive all in this game.
I'd really like to see Florida Atlantic jump up and do something. I think, I don't know, this is a long time ago. I think it might have been 2005. I remember when TCU jumped up and beat Oklahoma. But that was a Bob Stoops Oklahoma, right? That kind of Oklahoma was always like, wow, look at them getting these wins. They're really good, right? Big game, Bob. And then they always lose something like, hey, what the hell? How in the hell did they lose that game? So we'll see what Lincoln Riley has you know, up his sleeve, what kind of a game plan to come out there with. But I don't know. I don't know what kind of Oklahoma they're going to be. This is a very – I think it might be too much of a trap game. It's the first game of the season. They're going to be ready for Florida Atlantic, so they're not going to be a whole lot of surprises. They're going to treat it very seriously. So, you know, Florida Atlantic doesn't even have the element of surprise out here. But they're a good team. And I'll tell you what, if they do play a good game that does well for the conference, there's almost no bad loss for Florida Atlantic in this one.
Yeah, and it'll all have an asterisk. But and to kind of, you know, buffer myself.
What?
I don't know how their passing game is. If that passer that they brought in is good, then that's even worse for everybody else in the league.
What is the kid's name again?
I can't remember. He transferred in.
Is it Chris somebody? Chris Robinson? Robinson? I think that's what it is. But I don't know. They don't know who this is going to start, but I think it's the Robinson kid. We'll see. Florida Atlantic did a really good job last season with almost no quarterback. Like, Driscoll's out there. But he wasn't a passing threat until he played us, right? Then he kind of turned it on. A lot of it is just like the run game. And I don't know if they can wear down the Sooners the way they wore us down, right? We didn't have a whole lot of depth, and we didn't have four-star linebackers out there. So we'll see. We'll see what they got. All that said, Florida Atlantic has Lane Kiffin. And I know a lot of people are like, well, Kendall Bryles is not going to be there calling the plays. Well, Lane Kiffin is a great play caller in his own right. And he's going to get Kid Wise out there calling the plays, yeah, but the game plan is going to be Lane Kiffin, who is a great game
Kiffin's going to be calling the plays.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. It was funny, like at media days, you know, he's going on, he's a good, we'll see how it's going to work, I don't know. And then, you know, I'm like, hey, what makes a good play caller? And he's like, experience. And I was like, oh, okay, so the guy with no experience, he's going to be calling plays? Yeah, I don't believe that. What say you, studio audience? Look at that. I think it's funny, too.
When somebody asked him, hey, who's going to be calling plays? He said, well, we don't know. We haven't decided that yet. And I was like, why is he the offensive coordinator?
I think he's there to help game plan. I mean, coordinating is, there are two things to it, right? There's getting the game plan ready and then calling the plays. Usually one leads to the other, right? If you're preparing all week, you should be ready to call the plays. But, you know, he was saying it takes like a feel, right? Just like kind of in the moment. I think if they're game planning together, but like if Wise is doing the nitty gritty work, like the deep, you know, film study and really breaking down the things while Lane Kiffin oversees the entire operation, that's kind of how they'll work. And I'm probably, like I said, I think they'll probably work on what kind of plays to call. He's going to make, let's chuck it deep here. And Lane's going to be like, no, let's not chuck it deep. Or vice versa. He's like, all right, let's do like a nice little, first down getter right here. And he's like, no, let's go for broke right here. Let's pick on that safety that we saw in film room. I think that's the kind of conversations they'll have. It's all of it, though. This will determine what the narrative of Conference USA is this season. And we all knew it. This is a showcase game. Florida Atlantic, I really hope they step up and do well for the conference, because we need it. It's not going to change anything. Like, nobody's going to conference to the playoffs because of this game. But I think it raises the profile for the entire league. Everybody has to step up. We need to step up. We need to beat SMU. That's a winnable game. Louisiana Tech needs to beat South Alabama. FIU needs to beat Indiana. Those are the games you win. We talk a lot about the bowl games and like, we went to 8 bowl games, and the year before we won all the bowl games. Nobody cares about the bowl games. You care. Everybody pays attention in August and September and October. Those are the upset games where you talk about all season and you say, oh, yeah, man. Like, people remember that Houston beat Oklahoma, but not that Houston went on to have a meh kind of end of the year. They remember that Houston beat Oklahoma in the opening game. That's what they remember.
Yeah, and all that you said is true. If Conference USA wants to take itself serious or be considered seriously among the other Group of Five leagues, then, yeah, they need to just win out most of these games. I mean, Florida Atlantic, I think at best they'll have like a North Texas versus Georgia game where they're competitive for three quarters, and then the depth loses out to Oklahoma. I think that's your best case scenario. But, you know, a team like Middle Tennessee needs to be competitive against Vandy. Like you said, FIU against Indiana. I'd like to see what that FIU quarterback can do against a team like Indiana.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, North Texas circling back to North Texas, you know, we have to beat SMU.
I think other spots to watch, Kansas might be losing their coach. Texas Tech might be losing their coach, and those have implications for our staff. There's already rumblings that we're going to be losing our coach, and everybody likes Seth Luttrell. If everything goes the way we want it this season, one or maybe both or maybe all of our coaching staff is gone. And, you know, there are rumors like, they're like, well, you know, Sonny Cumbie might go to North Texas, or, you know, hey, Graham Harrell might just take the step up, or, you know, any number of guys. But I think David Beatty at Kansas is probably he's a favorite, betting favorite to lose his gig. So we'll see. We'll see, man. I think those other things are spots to watch. I think the Charlotte coach, I forget his name right now, but I think he's done. And who else is on the hot seat, do you think, in Conference USA?
In the last few years, we've replaced almost all the coaches. I don't think there's anybody in the hot seat other than maybe the Western Kentucky coach, but even then it's too early.
I think if he has a bad season, they really look at him and maybe replace him.
His seat is warm, lukewarm to warm.
I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, you can't, like, they had a nice string of coaches, successful coaches, and they were doing well, and then, but I think, yeah, the Charlotte guy, I think he may be done, and I wonder, how hot of a seat do you think UTSA has if they don't, I mean, I don't think they're going to do that great this season, but, I mean, when do they start looking at the coach and say,
I mean, it depends on how that good that athletic department is.
We'll see. I think they're gonna build new stuff, right? They have like a whole plan. We'll see there.
I don't know if
they have any money to fire anybody, and I think they all like Frank Wilson.
Yeah,
they're not super excited about doing that change. But I wonder, given different circumstances, if they'd be willing to fire the guy. Anyway,
maybe Stockstill at Middle Tennessee.
What are you excited about tailgating wise? I know everybody has to bring in plastic bags, right? Pretty soon we're just gonna be, you just have to have like video cameras on you at all times. You know what I mean? Just so that, are you excited about anything this season? The wrestling match.
Oh yeah, yeah! I'm excited, definitely excited to watch that. Never seen one before live, so that'll be interesting, especially at a stadium.
We should take bets for it, like how, whether or not you even make it to that thing, because that's after the game, you know. Yeah, you'd never make it to the second half.
I'm planning ahead this time because we will bring the kids, so we're taking two cars.
All right, second quarter,
that
you're
way they
done.
Can take off.
I don't believe it. I don't buy it. All right, so they got that. I think they got new beer stuff. I mean, things are looking up. What is the attendance going to be?
I'm thinking it's going to be a little over 26,000.
That's pretty good, man. I think that
it's a very solid attendance number.
Yeah, first game of the season always gets a lot of people. SMU coming, it brings a little bit more. I don't think SMU folks really travel outside of their Park City's bubble. But we'll see. We'll see. We got BMW parking. You can park up there in Denton. It's fine. Are you excited about any? They made a few tailgating changes. What are you gonna make? What's on the menu there, dude?
Well, this is the first week of school for me, teaching and stuff, and yeah, I'm exhausted.
So you got excuses on the menu, I see. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna float around different tailgate spots and say, hey, what's that? Oh, how's it going? I might bring some beer.
Okay, that's fine. What kind of beer are you bringing?
I haven't decided yet. Probably. I don't know, since it's going to be really hot outside, something easy, Texas lager or something.
Okay. I like that. I like that. All right, what are your overall predictions for this week? What happens? What's the biggest surprise in the conference?
In the conference?
Yeah.
The biggest surprise, I don't know. I mean, we talked to a lot of this stuff. I mean, within this game, I think Nick Smith will have a great game.
Yeah.
Maybe he score. I'm gonna go with Nick Smith goes two touchdowns, one in the air and one on the ground.
Ooh, fancy time! I'm gonna go ahead and say Jalen Darden scores twice. I just feel like it.
I mean, why not both?
Yeah, why not?
I think a surprise for you would be Marshall beats Miami.
Yeah, that would be. Ladies and gentlemen, we're done. You hear the studio crowd, studio audience there. It's a big crowd here tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, we're done. Thanks for listening to the Mean Green Nation podcast. MeanGreenNation.com. All right, let me stop those guys. MeanGreenNation.com is where you can find stuff. The ebook is still on sale. It's 20% off. Like I said, I'm being serious. I wrote it. I was thorough and in depth, and it's only $10, but you get 20% off. You can buy it on Smashwords. You can read it on any of your e-readers. Amazon, the Kindle, you can like convert it or whatever like that. It's not on Amazon yet, just because it takes extra work and extra money, and you can just read it right there. It's fine. It's on the iBookstore, the Apple Bookstore, and a bunch of other ones that I didn't even know existed. So there you go. Good stuff. Other than that, we'll be picking up the pace again. Like I said, I had a kid this week, or my wife had a kid. And so kind of put a pause, put a lot of stuff on hold. But everybody's doing great, and I'm excited to think about football and talk football and obsess about football and blog about football. And that's my plan for the next month while I'm on dad leave, you know? That and going to get stuff. I'm a gopher. I'm excited. This is one of the most exciting seasons, I guess, as we've established since 2014. You can email the show, podcast@MeanGreenNation.com. You can tweet at us. Get in touch with us. We like the feedback, and we're excited to do a new season of it. Yeah? Aren't you?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm jumping up and down, just like I'll be jumping up and down at the game on Saturday.
What are you sitting in the wing section again? You're a wing section kind of guy, aren't you?
It's the tail. And yeah, that's where I just sit.
I mean, I really don't mind sitting anywhere. But when we go, it's my wife's like, we're sitting in the shade. So I'm like, okay, we're sitting
in the shade. Yeah, that's the big thing, is the sun goes right between the alumni stands and the rest of the sky, and we get it all the way down till it sets.
It's so ridiculous. But I guess there's no other option. You do what you got to do. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks again. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.